Happy Sabbath to all.
Happy Sabbath.
I'd like to say thank you for your selection in songs this afternoon, because you hit one with the second song about God's calling children, because in fact that's what we're going to be speaking a little bit today. As you all know and are aware, United Youth Camps are in full swing. It's hard to believe that summer's drawing to a close, and most of those sessions are come and gone. For our kids, Camp Woodman, though, is just around the corner. And as you can imagine, the subject of summer camp has dominated most of the conversations in our house as of late. I have to admit it, though, between myself, Nyssa, and our little Hannah, we're looking forward to a teenage-free home for that week. If we could extend it, I'd be glad to help that. But on a more serious note, in preparation for their camp adventure, Nyssa and I have taken many opportunities to discuss with each one what will be expected of them while they're at camp. Although this is a time of fun and excitement, it's also a time of great responsibility. I want to share with you today a subject that we discussed in one of our camp preparation talks. This mostly will be directed to our young ones, so I'm looking for your eyes. Just give you a heads up, I'm looking at you. But it is applicable to all our lives. I will need everyone's participation today, so I want to give you the beginning of a sentence, and I want you to finish it. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but... That's correct. Words will never or can never hurt me. We've heard this phrase in our childhood. We probably used it in times past. But I ask you, is this saying true? No, it's evident. It's far from the truth. Hurtful words don't just bounce off without leaving pain. In fact, they can produce more pain than those sticks and stones. And if we're not careful, you know, our words can become weapons of mass destruction if we allow them to be. So today, I will title this message, Sticks and Stones. We are responsible, each one of us, of how we treat one another. To be a friend and have friends is a great blessing, but it does come with many obligations. Please take your Bibles and let's read in Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs 18, and we're going to just read the last verse, verse 24. A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Friendship is a valuable commodity. We need to take a close look at ourselves and see what kind of person we actually are compared to what God wants us to be. There's also a couple things we should be doing. We should be asking ourselves, am I a friendly person? Do I come across as one who would be desired as a friend by others? To be considered friendly, we must be to others as we want them to be to us. A good start to becoming a friend is looking to God for help. We have this awesome opportunity, Mr. Bannon talked about a few weeks ago, of growing not only in the image of our God and Creator, but also in the image of His character. We are called to do something more than just a work. We're called to set example, not only for our fellow members, our fellow brethren, but our responsibility goes outside that. We have a responsibility to set an example for those outside the church. We're called to be different. We're called to be outgoing. We're called to be friends. Most important, we're called to love. Our words can be instruments used to destroy relationships, or they can be used to create relationships. When it comes to interacting with anyone, especially in this household of God, we should be using our words to build, never to destroy. Our first effort should always be to extend love. Even when we're facing the ridicule of someone's hurtful words, love is much more powerful. Love produces peace. It's easy to extend love in the perfect situation. But when our character is being tested and we're up against it, that's where it really counts. That leads us to the first subject, young ones. Let's talk about teasing. We all love to tease. It's part of a lot of our personalities. But if we're not careful, what might start out as innocent can change. We should know the limits of teasing and respect those limits. If we're not careful, it can come and turn into bullying. A lot of things we do seem fun, and that is until someone gets hurt. We must put ourselves in each other's shoes. Think about it. Is what I'm saying, what I'm doing, is it actually fun for everyone? Or could we be causing pain? Could we be causing someone to hurt and not want to have a friendship or relationship with you? Getting a different perspective will change how you interact with everything and everyone. Bullying is a very serious problem that's facing you, our young people. Look at the news. How many young lives have been cut short as of late because of someone's hurtful words? Again, we should never allow our words to hurt and destroy, but rather to encourage and uplift. None of us want to be the recipient of bullying. But most importantly, none of us should ever find ourselves being the bully. If we're faced with teasing, remember, retaliation is never the answer. I know that it's hard. It's hard to just turn away and walk away, but we must resist that desire to retaliate. Make a difference. Choose the higher path, because your choice can determine if your words will gain a relationship, fix a relationship, or miss out on a friendship that could last forever. Be aware. We all will find ourselves involved in these situations. And yes, they can happen to anyone, and they can happen anywhere. There's not one person that's immune to this, because we're all human. It's how you handle these situations that's important. I ask you, though, how can you disarm these situations when they arise? How can you keep yourself from creating these destructive situations? We should all be able to identify and remedy these issues quickly. We've already touched it. There's a perfect answer. Love and mercy. And for the remainder of this message, we will be talking about that. Have you ever thought that you can control the outcome of both these situations and also to the glory of God? You can, by extending love and mercy. Put God's way first, and the evils that may be behind, hidden on that attack, will have no choice but to flee. Think about it. When you walk into a room, you flip a light switch on. What happens? The darkness flees. It's gone, vanished. It has nowhere to go. Within you lies the power to change yourself, set the example, and save a relationship. That's why we need to follow God's way of life. It's designed to help us prevent ourselves from becoming part of the problem. Our human nature can be controlled. It can be corrected if we allow God to guide us. Please turn back to 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4 and verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. We must understand and get it in our head that God loved us first and requires us to do the same. Love is his identity. And by love, his people are identified. And that's you and me. Our words should be powered by love and influence what we say regardless of what we may be facing. Our Father does not place conditions on how he loves. His love is unconditional. However, how we experience that love depends on us. It's placed upon our shoulders. God doesn't force his love on anyone. He desires that everyone would come to understand and experience the love as he wants. But sadly, so many refuse. Even us. Sin separates us from God's love. He laid the foundation, and we must be within that foundation to fully understand and experience that love. Once this happens, we can see as he loves, and we can also love in the same way. Let me give you an example as how God works his love. Well, I wouldn't say how it works, but how it is portrayed. Then you will learn how your love should work. Let's say, if you look up here, if you say within the parameters of this lectern is God's love. Imagine it. This thing is unmovable. I can't push it around. If this is where God's love is, and I'm not solid, if I step to the right or to the left, will I feel God's love? It's possible, but not to the point that God wants me to experience it. He's let me know. Right here, no ifs, ands, or buts, I'm here, my love's here. He's crying out to us. He's crying out to you to come to me for love. Just think about in your own families. Your parents love you despite your attitude, despite when you break the rules. But when you don't follow the directions, you create a condition. You cannot feel the love that they desire to show you, even though they are showing you. You just see the disciplinary. It should be clear, the responsibility lies upon our shoulders to experience the love. Again, our actions, our sin, removes us from the presence. We are the ones who make it seem conditional. On the contrary, God's love opens our eyes. It shows us that His love was there all along. We just didn't realize it because we found ourselves operating outside the parameters of His love. Obeying His laws that He established will open our eyes. Remember, God never changed. We did. So if we're operating within His law, our first action will be to love as He does. Hopefully you'll start to see that love should be the beginning and the purpose of all that you do. Love will change how you live and how you interact with everyone. Now I ask you, if God's love is unconditional, shouldn't your love be? You should be the one who loves first and willing to love even though the recipient does not deserve it. This is the principle of love which should always be applied in our lives. This is where true agape, that powerful love, is born. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to grab two verses here. Ephesians 2, verse 4. But God, who was rich in mercy because of His great love, which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. We find here that God not only loves, but He's also rich in showing mercy. By His grace and that agape, that powerful love, and His mercy, it's made possible that we understand who He is. Jesus showed us how this is possible in our lives during His human life, so that we are without excuse when it comes to expressing both our love and our mercy. You can summarize what I've said so far by writing this down. Grace. God giving us what we don't deserve. Mercy. God not giving us what we do deserve. I'll repeat that. Grace can be easily defined as God giving us what we don't deserve, and mercy, God not giving us what we do deserve. God's grace and His mercy are foundational to His character. It should also be the foundation of our own character. Actively imitating God's character will develop a deeper understanding of life, and that's the key to growth. That's how you young ones will mature into what God desires you to become. Meaning you are at a vital junction of your spiritual development. That's why these church camps are so important for growth and maturity. So, take your time. Take advantage of everything and learn while you can. Keep in mind that even in church, we all will face challenges. But if we approach them correctly, these challenges will have positive results. You will build a strong relationship with God and gain wonderful friendships that will last forever. Remember, we're not all perfect. We can find ourselves playing a role that is not desired of God if we're not careful. I encourage you that if you find yourself in these situations, stop, pray, immediately. Don't wait, even in your mind. His love, repentance is still offered to you and to the ones who are involved. It will guide you to change the situation that you created. If you find yourself a recipient of hurt, remember, Jesus Christ experienced this many times over. And what did He do? He offered love and He offered mercy. We should do the same. Your Father in heaven will see your efforts and He will bless the outcome. Remember, you have the power to change yourself and the situation. Don't join the problem, but be the solution to the problem. Extend your hand of mercy and watch the situation peacefully unfold because of your love and your godly influence. I want to leave you with one final thought as you make your final preparations for camp. Love does not exist only in the perfect situation, but love has the ability to perfect all situations. I'll repeat that. Love doesn't exist only in the perfect situation, but love has the ability to perfect all situations. Young campers, go be merciful. Express love through your actions, through your words. Become builders and eager to help what has been hurt and repair what has been destroyed. Be excited to fulfill the royal law of love. In return, you'll gain precious memories and great relationships that will last a lifetime.